Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Mental Health Today Show. My name is John Cordray, and this is episode 79. And I am really, really excited that we're going to be talking about PTSD among firefighters. And I cannot wait to introduce you my guest, Carl Waggett. Now, Carl is from Canada. For all you Canadians out there, you can relate to where he's coming from. He is a full-time fireman, and he's right now the acting captain, and he has a lot of things he wants to talk about. He's going to talk about his story of PTSD. I want to hear a little bit, what is it like among firemen? And he's going to talk about that and some of the things that they face on a day-to-day basis, and things that we probably don't realize, that the trauma that they see can play a huge effect on them. And so we're going to be talking about that in just a minute. And welcome back to the Mental Health Today Show. My special guest with me today is Carl Waggett. Carl, thank you and welcome to the show.
John, thanks so much for having me on the show. This is fantastic. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Oh, no
today.
Problem at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Well, very good. Well, let's get right into it. And I'm really curious to hear a little bit about your story. I know we talked a little bit offline, and I'm curious. What is it that you're trying to do? I know you have a podcast too, I believe, and you're also a full-time firefighter, and mm-hmm. you're wanting to talk about and spread the word out about PTSD.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a bit of an interesting story, actually, because up until 24 months ago, I didn't think for a second PTSD existed in the emergency services. Yeah, no, it's true. I that's what I thought. I mean, I was born in 1975, right? So I was an 80s kid, you know, and I grew up watching some of the most epic war movies.
Oh, I love the 80s. Love the 80s.
Thank you. Good. I got a shout out for that. So, no, that was always fantastic. So I always thought, you know what, if you didn't go through what John Rambo went through, then I'm sorry, you don't deserve to wear this PTSD thing. Well, anyways, about 14 months ago, a very good friend of mine, you know, he took his life. Mm. And, you know, whenever you hear that somebody takes their life, I mean, whether you want to or not, you put them in a category. You think, okay, well, you know what, yeah, maybe there was a drinking problem. You know, there's other problems. But the problem was, is that I knew this guy, right? So it was a little bit different for me. So, you know, it frightened the life out of me, because we talked about this a little bit before. And you know what, this is back before there was any PTSD name on it, right? But, you know, I remember my buddy Gene saying to me, you know, you carry this stuff with you. You know, when you see this stuff, it doesn't just go away. And I remember that. And when he took his life, it was at a stage that I was in where I'd just gone through a separation myself. And I'd met a wonderful person that was actually a 911 fire dispatcher. She worked in dispatch. And we were living in a house together, blended family. Everybody got along, right? Even the guinea pigs, right? Everybody. It was incredible. And honest to God, I couldn't feel anything. I wasn't angry. I wasn't sad. I wasn't anything. I was completely flat. Now, to somebody listening to that goes, oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, you have flat days. Okay, no problem. Right? I'm working in a dream job, right? A job I've always wanted to do, right? With somebody who is now my absolute best friend, and I don't feel anything. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's going to happen in 10 years? You know, and then my friend took his life, right? So all of a sudden, we have a subject of PTSD in the emergency services. You know, it's creeping up. The data's flooding in. There's no doubt about it. There's no denying it, you know. And the problem is that I would feel more comfortable telling people I have a coke problem than telling people I have post-traumatic stress disorder. You know,
sure.
It's it's not something that's discussed in the fire hall. Now, I think when something starts taking people's lives, I think that's when somebody has to supersede their own embarrassment and kind of stand up and go, look, something's not right here. So that's exactly where I started. You know, I as we kind of talked before we, before we started recording here, that I have no idea about all this digital stuff. Like, I'll tell you what, it's really no match for the human spirit when it wants to get a message out.
Mm. Yes,
and I found that very quickly that, you know, I think I'm similar to most guys out there. You know, we all chase the dollar. There's no doubt about it, right? We all want the nice things. We want the nice houses, the cars, and all that jazz. But for the first time in my life, at the age of 42, I was now fighting for a cause that superseded money. Hmm. And it was amazing the doors that opened. I mean, well, yeah. look at the situation right here. I mean, you know, like I said earlier, I'm a fireman. I break stuff for a living. Okay. Not too sophisticated. Okay. When everything comes apart, they call a bunch of guys like me in and we go fix it the best we can. Right? Right. But all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where these incredible men and women that you work with that have unfortunately now become your best friends, you're watching them kill themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm not just through suicide. You have to understand. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it starts to wear on you. So now, granted, I mean, you can live that life if you want to. I mean, that's entirely your choice if you choose to live that way. But when I started to find out that there was information that could stop that, well, I didn't feel right just hoarding that information and keeping it for myself, right? So yeah, I thought, well, I'll be the fool with the sandwich board on, right, running down the street telling everybody about it. Why not, right? I mean, I back in college, I used to spend really good money to make a fool of myself. So I might as well do it for nothing, right?
Right.
So, and that's exactly what drove the whole, the podcast, for instance. So it was desperation, I suppose.
Well, I remember when I first started my podcast a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I had no idea what the response was going to be, who would listen, if anybody would listen. And I was just kind of blown away, you know, and I quickly realized that a lot of people want to hear about this kind of stuff, mental health issues. And, you know, over the last several years, I've had a lot of people reach out to me and very similar stories of suicide or anxiety. And I'm really, really happy to have you on, Carl, because I want to bring a spotlight to first responders and you all in emergency services. And we just don't realize, the public doesn't realize that you see death and near-death experiences on a daily basis. And we don't realize what that does to the human brain.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I can remember growing up thinking that all emergency services were just, you know, after they were done work, they were put in a glass jar that said break in case of emergency. And then when they needed them, they brought them back out again, sure. Right? Like, it's almost like when you see your school teacher at the movies and you're freaked out because they're a normal person, right? But I think what the general public don't realize is that these men and women that are in, you know, police, fire, and ambulance, right, correctional services and military, well, they got husbands and wives and kids at home,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's funny because I always see that when I watch, you know, you turn on CNN and there's a horrific accident where there's a police shooting or there's something. And I'm thinking, you know what? That poor bugger probably had 15 minutes left on his night shift, you know, and the whole world came apart. Yeah. Right. He probably just did a 12-hour shift. He's tired. He's fed up. He's, you know, he's had enough, you know, his teenage daughter's driving him nuts, whatever, station captains, you know, on them again, and all of a sudden the whole world comes apart and these guys have to deal with this, you know, and I think what we're starting to see in the news, right, when the data starts to flood in, is I think we can all agree that life is ramping up. It's getting faster and faster and faster, right. And faster, right? You know, we're starting to see stress affecting people every single day. Well, you got to start to understand that the emergency services, they're not immune to it.
Exactly.
you know, exactly. So, and it's funny. And, you know, I have the same image of a firefighter in the 70s, you know, big jolly fellow hanging out, having a smoke on the ramp, right? Kids are playing basketball. They're flipping the burgers, right? Whatever. Yeah. You know, they all go home, they have a barbecue, and they got a great life, right? Well, it's a little different when you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you know,
it's not a TV show. It's not a movie. Well,
this is it. I mean, even though we definitely hands down have movie moments, I mean, we are not immune to everyday pressures.
Right.
Right. It's what happens. So now when you take everyday pressures, okay, and you mix that in with some of the things that we see, and I mean, I don't get into the whole shock value thing. I mean, my word, you can go on the internet and see worse things than I can tell you. But when you mix those two together, it's a deadly cocktail is what it is, you know. And I think it's time that we stop looking at it as, okay, well, you know, maybe it's mental illness, you know, and maybe start looking at it as this is actually killing our friends.
Yeah.
Okay. And when we start looking at it that way, maybe we'll start giving it the respect it deserves. Because, hey, you know, like I said in the beginning of this interview, 24 months ago, are you kidding me? No, I didn't believe in any of this stuff. As far as I was concerned, this was somebody who wanted to get out of work, right? If you know, if you don't like the job, I'm sure you can go be an accountant. Off you go.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't mean to interrupt you there, Carl, but yeah. I think that is a common thing that you just mentioned,
sure
that
is.
You didn't think it was that big of a deal. You didn't even know it was a thing.
And it's never a big deal until it happens to you.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And I think so, especially guys.
Oh my God.
We as men, we have a hard time admitting that we need help. That we can work through it. You know, we're tough. We can do this. And I just need to put my mind aside and just do the job.
Are you kidding me? 500 years ago, men used to move mountains.
Yeah.
Good God. They used to build giant skyscrapers, right?
And
I'm having a problem with something I saw? Like, you must be joking. It's almost humiliating, right?
Right.
So, and I think this is where PTSD hides. And I think it's a very cheeky little disorder. I think it's very clever, actually. And I think it hides in the bravado of the individual of saying, nah, you're good, man.
Right.
Like, come on. And I think as soon as you start pointing around the room and saying, okay, look, well, Ted, he's a train wreck. Look at him, right? And Dave over here, my God, he won't even talk to his wife, right? You know, at least I'm not as bad as those guys.
So, Carl, what would be some things that you could, some tips of helping other people who might think they have PTSD or maybe they do have PTSD or perhaps even other firemen?
Right.
What can you do if you think you might have some of these symptoms?
Well, I tell you, you know, you talk about PTSD as far as a single incident, okay? And we talk about a single incident like the Oklahoma bombing. You know, we talk about the World Trade Centers, you know, the Boston bombing, the Marathon bombing.
Sure.
Right? You know, people who are in instances like that, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that, yeah, you're going to have some kind of recourse from what you've just seen, okay? Now, the problem with the fire service, emergency service, correctional, you know, all them, is that we're more looking at an exposure situation. And I think that's what surprised me the most about post-traumatic stress is because there was no call that bothered me. I mean, obviously, okay, there was parts of town that I avoided because I didn't want to go there, right?
Right.
But the problem is when more of those places back up, you realize that the war lines start getting pushed against the door of your house and you can't go anywhere anymore. So no individual I know wants to admit that they're being beaten by something, but that's exactly where my isolation came from. I just didn't want to go out anymore.
Yeah.
So I think to the emergency services, I think people that are in this, the biggest warning sign that I found is just that absolutely flat, monotone emotion towards anything. Nothing was fun anymore.
Yeah.
Like nothing was fun. Like, I mean, somebody could say, hey, listen, Carl, I got a great idea. I got tickets right behind home plate. The Yankees are playing the Jays. Let's go. And I'd go, looks like it's going to rain. You know, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
You know, that's not normal.
And that brings up a really good point. I think just you saying flat, almost like just a flat effect.
Completely flat. Yeah. Emotionless. Yeah.
Yeah. And perhaps people would even recognize that as a symptom. You know, they might just chalk it up. I'm just having a bad day or a bad week.
You can have a bad day, but I think when it starts to turn into a bad couple of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because people say, oh, well, that's kind of funny. No, I'm serious. PTSD is a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not something that happens fast, especially with the exposure. And I think the thing that's most frightening about it is it actually convinces you to do the stuff you're doing. You know, I definitely had a problem with isolation. I didn't want to see anybody anymore, right? So what were the odds of getting me out of my basement when it was my idea?
Right.
No, nobody was forcing me to do it, right? It was my idea to run away, right? So I think that's what's so scary with the post-traumatic stress is with the warning signs, it's the individual's idea. I think it takes a very, very strong friend or spouse or child to snap somebody out of it.
I think you bring up a really good point there. If someone comes up to you, let's say you might be struggling with PTSD, you may not realize it, but a loved one comes up, a friend, a spouse, or even a child, and says, you know what, I think there's some things going on that we need to talk about. What were some of the things that, for you, Carl, that you've learned as you are living through this? You said you didn't even think PTSD was a thing, but then you struggled with it. What are some things that have been helpful for you? We'll be back after a quick break.
Hi, this is Ross, the host of Smells Like Humans. Each week, we talk about the curious things that people do. This show is for you when you're in the mood for unscripted, lighthearted conversation, personal stories, and just a smattering of psychology and information you can use. I promise we will make your day pass a little faster and put a smile on your face. Sometimes silly, sometimes serious, but always fun. Please join us, because no matter who you are, we all smell like human. Please follow the link in the show notes.
The most helpful thing I found with post-traumatic stress is an old lesson my father taught me. It's safety in numbers. You know, isolation is a tool of post-traumatic stress. You can hear it giggling in the corner of the room. It really is. I mean, because once post-traumatic stress gets you alone, okay, that's when your mind can really go to work on you. But I'll tell you what, I've never in my 14 years on the fire service seen an individual hurt themselves in a room full of people. Okay.
Very good.
So, and you know what, you can look at any kind of medical journal. That's 14 years of riding on a truck. Okay. And any kind of self-harm I've ever seen is in a room by themselves. So obviously I'm not the sharpest guy in the world, but you see patterns enough, you start to pick up on it. Right. And you go, okay, wait a minute. Somebody's in trouble. Don't leave them alone. Well, the problem was it was my idea to be alone.
Right.
So how do I combat myself? So to individuals out there that can feel themselves, you know, really pulling back from people, people annoy them. Oh my God, my poor mother. Oh, it wouldn't matter what she said, right? It drove me bananas, right? Just drove me bananas. Oh, but you know, going back to that, not feeling anything, when you can stand in front of your mom and watch her cry and not feel anything, something's broken. So I think what PTSD does is takes you on this real self journey of who the hell are you? Because I think we've all seen in those cartoons back in the day, right, where the supervillain disguised himself as the hero, and now there's two heroes fighting, right?
Right.
So which one do you shoot, right? Well, the one that has the most knowledge of the person who they're supposed to be. So that's what I found with PTSD is there's all these little pockets. So when you start to see something that's as dangerous as this, hey, I'll tell you what, you give your buddies a heads up. Because I don't think this is something that if you have post-traumatic stress, you truly feel that, okay, this is something that you have. You need to get a medical doctor on your side because this is something that you can't just battle on yourself.
Right.
And if you'll stay with me on this one, the reason why you need professionals, because I was always, look, just rub dirt on it, you'll be fine, right? That was a mentality, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem with PTSD is that you block memories out, okay? And when I got on the fire service, there were certain calls that I thought would bother me. Okay, any human being can probably think about five calls off the top of their head that would be horrific to watch, okay? And we don't need to go into detail, just, you know, right? But the problem is that what you realize through this journey is those aren't always the ones that bother you. Believe it or not, it's the ones that sometimes you forget about that flank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you have an individual that's showing signs and symptoms of post-traumatic stress and they're irritable and they're upset and they're fighting with their spouse and da-da-da-da-da, well, 90% of the time when men fight, it's because they're scared. Okay. I know that's when I fight.
Yeah.
When I'm scared. So when you take an individual who feels like he's under attack all the time but doesn't know why he's under attack, guess how punchy he is? Mm-hmm. Pretty punchy. So what PTSD does is quietly pushes the loved ones away. And what do they do? It gets them alone.
Right.
Once you get somebody alone, you got them.
Yeah.
See, you really got to start to look at this. And I think this is why I jumped on this as much as I do, because sometimes with mental health, you put a new rub on it. Okay, this thing's attacking you. Mm-hmm. Okay, if PTSD is doing one thing, it has to gain ground. Okay, it's not like it's going to meet in the middle with your mind and say, okay, I think I've consumed enough. No. It wants it all.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're starting to notice this PTSD, guess what? It's not going to stop till it's done. So it's a constant battle to gain you back. And until we start looking at PTSD through those eyes, I'll tell you what, it's going to take a lot more people. It will. Because it wears you down. It's quite a battle. And you can see how people will spend as many years as they do with it, because it's just, it shatters them.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think a battle is a very good description. And so many people are battling. And like you said, the worst thing that can happen is that people battle this by themselves. And most of the time, if they're by themselves and they're thinking in their heads that they are the worst person in a human race, and then they start to do things that are negative towards themselves and maybe towards other people, and they don't realize that it's the PTSD that's driving them and turning them into a different person. And so it is very, very important to seek help, talk to somebody, talk to a professional like myself, a therapist. And I've seen many people come to see me in my office who struggle with PTSD. And I do want to point out, you don't have to be on the front lines, whether it's military or first responders, to develop PTSD. You can be, things can happen in your life, and you're not necessarily doing like going to battle or something like that, but everyday things can cause your brain to react. And when you are faced with feeling that your life is in jeopardy or somebody else's life is in jeopardy, that can produce a traumatic event in your brain. And then that then can produce PTSD. So if you even think that you have it, please get help. And that's the biggest thing. I know, Carl, you're advocating as well. Don't do this alone. You've got to get people on your side, and preferably a professional to help you as well.
Well, you know what? And I couldn't agree more with what you say, but to really put a picture on this, okay? I heard a devastating stat, actually in the United States there. 22 American soldiers a day take their life with mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress. Right? Mm-hmm. So now we've talked about how PTSD pushes people away, okay? So let's say for argument's sake, of those 22 people, okay, let's say 10 stuck around. Okay, 10 of them stuck around and said, okay, look, I love this person enough that I'm going to stick around. The rest just, they leave. They can't deal with it anymore, okay? So that means in the United States of America that 220 people are devastated every single day. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
That's, you know what? That's an epidemic.
Yeah.
So you have 220 people a day that wake up the next day and get news like that and can't go to work because they're devastated.
Right.
So, you know, when you start to look at it that way, you go, holy crap, this is really something. And, you know, you were talking earlier about, you know, you don't have to be on the front lines. It's funny, in the fire service, we're terrible for this. I mean, everything's a competition. My word. Google has killed every competition in every fire hall, right? It is true, right? And, you know, I think the biggest problem is it turns into a Monty Python skit, right? You know, like, you were poor. Oh, you were lucky, right? Electricity, oh, right? So it turns into one of these. And I think the problem with PTSD in the fire hall is that you'll sit there and you'll go, okay, this bothers me, but that guy last week went to a kid who hung himself. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not going to complain. Hey, you know what bothered me the most? Okay, 14 years on the job, you know what bothered me the absolute most? Was the elderly. Mm. It was the, you know what? It was the elderly people in these little tiny hotels and nobody looking after them. Mm. You know, I'm not talking about the elderly with you know, four daughters and three sons that all show up and, oh, okay, we'll take you to the hospital. No, I'm talking about the elderly where there's just him or there's just her, yeah. or you know what the worst ones are, when there's him and her and they're just looking after each other. Hmm. And, you know, I think to myself, Carl, don't look at them. Like, just don't even look at them. Like, I mean, and it's funny, of all the things I've seen on the job, sometimes it's the non-gross ones that bother you the most.
Yeah.
So there's a great example of calls that can flank you.
Yeah.
No, I'll guarantee you that call that I'm just talking about right there, I jumped on the truck. I went back. As soon as my boots had the apparatus for it, never thought about them again. Mm. Guarantee it. Right. But this is why, you know, there's a lot of things. And let's be honest. I mean, you know, 22 American soldiers a day. These people fight in wars. Yep. Okay. These are some of the toughest men and women out there. Okay. What's taking them down is bigger than that. So, you know, at some point, we need to give a little bit of respect to that alone, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think in a world where everything's dangerous, oh my word, right? Turn on the TV, everything can kill you. This is actually killing people.
Right.
You know, and not only that, hey, you know what, if you want to look at it from a selfish standpoint, if my kid is choking at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would like emergency service workers that aren't up in their head when they're coming to the call. Mm. You know, I want those people to be as sharp as I can possibly make them. So, you know, this obviously this information has been out for a while, right? And you know all about it. I can only imagine how frustrating it would be to know this and know you can help people. But, you know, if I could take a little portion of my life and just dedicate it to, hey, you don't have to go through this. Hey, if you want to go through this, if you watch those 80s war movies and you want to live in a cabin and you know, the single light bulb and nobody talks to you. Okay, great. Awesome. Great. Go ahead. But if you don't, there's an option, yeah. You know, and I think that's, because there's people out there that are going to punch a hole in this, right? I guarantee you, there's people in fire halls right now going, ah, it's a lot of crap. Mm-hmm. Great. Good for you. You know what? Enjoy the rest of your life. Because I'm going to enjoy mine.
Yes.
Okay. And that's why I'm doing this.
And your family is important, yeah, as well.
You know, I know this, that after you retire from the fire department, police department, emergency services, they're not the ones that are going to look after you.
Right.
Okay. So as you get older in life, it's going to be the people in your family that are going to have your back. So, you know, if you're not wanting to get help because what people at work think, sorry, you're more than likely going to get moved stations in 3-4 years. You may not even be in the same division as them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact is there's individuals like yourself out there that can really, really take the sting out of this. So please.
They just have to be willing to get the help.
It's funny because we have absolutely no problems going for help when we hurt ourselves from the neck down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know how many times I've blown shoulders out. I've had back surgeries, twisted. I tell you what, when you're a firefighter, all you do is smash your shins on coffee tables working. You know, it's not like the movies, right? You're running, you're banging into everything. Walk around your own house in the dark.
Yeah, right.
Imagine going into somebody's house. So you're always hurting yourself. That's what you do. But for some strange reason, when we get injured from the neck up, everybody goes, oh, I'm fine. I'm just going to have a bath. I'll be okay. No, you know, it's not going to do it, man. So if you've torn ligaments in your back, you need help, or in your shoulder. So if you pulled something in your noodle, there's guys out there that can help you with that.
Yep.
Off you go.
Right.
So there you have it. So, you know, and that was really the whole, well, I guess that's my quest, so to speak, right?
Well, Carl, we're going to have to wrap up here really soon. Oh, okay. I'm really, really curious about what you're doing with, you said you have a podcast. Are there other things that you're doing that maybe people who are listening that might be able to follow you as well?
Well, you know what? I am absolutely force gumping my way through this. I really don't know what I'm doing. I you know what? I, like I said, I realized the sandwich board wouldn't work. So I found out about these blog things. I thought they were interested. And then I found out about WordPress and then I built a blog, right? Because this is what firefighters do. We just improvise, mm-hmm, right?
Sure.
That's all we do is we just improvise. So then I started doing the blog and, you know, I think my mother looked at it and that was it. So, you know, I'm not getting the word out with that. And I didn't have thousands of dollars to be on the first page of Google. Mm. So I started this podcast thing and to be honest with you, I'm just, well, rambling on, aren't I, about, stuff that everybody knows, but nobody's saying, let's put it that way. right? Like, I mean, you know, I remember saying to my buddy, look, think back 10 years and name me three guys that are happy when they retire. Okay, that's a problem. Yeah. I mean, when you retire, you should be happy. You've worked hard. Please right. enjoy it.
Right.
My goodness. You know, and the problem is too many people look at retirement as the end. I mean, if you retire at the age of 60 and you're lucky you live to the age of 80, well, that's an entire life for some people. That's 20 years.
Sure.
So if, you know, if you think you're going to sit on your couch and watch MacGyver for the next 20 years, buddy, it's going to be a long time. You know, you got to get out there. The sun's shining.
So where can people find your podcast or yeah, your podcast and what's the name of it? And
yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate that. Well, our blog is at, obviously www.ptsdbunkergearforyourbrain.com. And it's a PTSD Bunker Gear for Your Brain on iTunes as well.
Oh, great!
So, if you go onto the website there, you can go on to iTunes. You know, do us a favor and subscribe. Apparently, that's quite good. Like I said, I'm learning all about this. So, you know, I watch this thing on the internet, and they say tell people to subscribe. I go, okay, perfect. Tell people to subscribe. Right? All right, let's do it. So yeah, like I said, I there's really no game plan. It's very similar to a house on fire, right? Just get the people out that are in danger, right? Get everybody else out, and then make sure it doesn't fall down on you. It's really simple.
Well, it sounds great. Well, I'll make sure I put all the links in my show notes, and I want people, especially if you are in the emergency services or firefighters. I don't know if that's what your intended audience would be, or maybe just anybody.
I'll tell you what, and you know, a little message to anybody who's listening here. Anybody who's showing any signs and symptoms of this, you've got to give John a shout, okay? Because it's look, the same way as if your house is on fire, I would come and put it out because that's what I've learned how to do. That's what I do for a living, right? Guys like John fix these problems. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that guys like me are only just starting to learn this. Hey, right. professional athletes been doing this forever. Are you kidding me?
Right. Oh, yeah, they normally have their own therapist.
Well, of course.
For the whole team.
Can you imagine going to the New York Yankees and saying I can make your guys tougher so they don't crack? The Yankees, well, geez, no, I think it's hogwash. Get out of my office. Are you kidding me? No, they want them. They make them stronger. So, you know, guys out there listening, give John a shout, honestly, because he can fix this stuff. And you know, there's a little theory I have about a garage, and, you know, maybe I'll share that next time. But it really paints a picture of what goes on in your mind when you cleared up from PTSD.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
All right.
Well, Carl, thank you so much. I appreciate you spending some time with me.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic.
And, yeah, definitely, I'd love to have you back on, and you know, you can tell more stories. I know people like to hear the stories, and I just want to thank you for your service.
Oh, thanks. Please.
And, no. You know, anybody who's listening to this, if you are in the fire department or police department, any first responders, thank you so much for your service. I know what you go through behind the scenes that most people do not know. So I thank you for your service. Please don't do this alone. If you're hurting, if you feel just blank, as Carl was describing, get help.
You can't do this by your own. Yeah. It's like going into a house fire by yourself. You can't do it. It's too dangerous. Seriously. Right. You need people around you because you are going to trip on this journey. There's no way around it. You have to.
Exactly. Right. So, all right, Carl. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
And that was Carl Waggett. Thank you, Carl, again. Appreciate that. Always really a lot of fun to be able to bring on people who are out there that maybe you might not hear about otherwise, like this fireman from Canada. Where else are you going to hear from a fireman from Canada? But Carl's a great guy. We connected, and we've been talking back and forth. Glad to finally have him on. Just really appreciate his courage to be able to come on and talk about this. I don't know if you realize this. It does take courage for people who are kind of what in our minds are supposed to be the tough guys, right? And so it is takes courage to come on and talk about a story and to share. And if he can do it, you can do it. So please, if you get anything out of this, if you're struggling with PTSD or if you think you are, don't do it alone. That's the worst thing that you can do. Reach out for help. Talk to somebody. Go talk to a professional, and they're there to help you. Thank you so much for listening and for watching. If you're watching this on Facebook Live, Awesome. Glad to have you. And this is something new. And so you might hear some things. I'm not editing anything. Everything is live, even the audio. And that's okay. What you hear or what you see is what you get. Hopefully it's good though. I hope it turns out well. And if you are watching or listening, there is something kind of new that I've just started. If you're able to, I have a Patreon account, and you can go to patreon.com/JohnPCordray. Hop over there, and what that is I'm needing other people to come with me, join with me, to be able to do production. I love doing this. It's not always easy, and it's not it's definitely not cheap. Everything I do is free, and I know not everybody can support me. But the Patreon, it starts as low as $3 a month. And if you can't do that, that's fine. You can do a different amount. But if you want to go check that out, awesome. If not, that's okay. Still listening, still tune in. And I hope you're subscribing to my channel. And that is great. So until next time, don't forget to smile more. Take care of yourself. And thank you so much for listening to the Mental Health Today Show. And that's a wrap. Hey, thank you, everybody, on Facebook Live. I appreciate you. When I'm doing the recording, I'm not able to talk specifically to make comments. I probably will as I get used to this because when I was talking with Carl, you probably heard him, but you didn't see him. We tried to actually get him on Facebook Live with me so you can do the side-by-side and see his face. But for whatever reason, it didn't work for him. And so then we had to switch to Skype. And so I just piped him through my phone and into my audio. And hopefully it turned out well. I think some people in who were watching said it turned out well. So thank you so much for watching. I will be putting this up on YouTube as well because I know I have people who follow me who are not on Facebook, but they would rather watch on YouTube and vice versa. So I will be putting this video up on YouTube as well. Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I got to let you go. I have things I have to do today, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.